This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. For this episode, I spoke to Kevin Larder, a city guide and volunteer guide at St. Bart's Hospital Museum, which takes in tours of St. Bartholomew the Great Church too. Now we're standing outside the walls of what's left of St. Bartholomew the Great. I wouldn't mind you telling me a bit about who St. Bartholomew was.
Well, St. Bartholomew, or Bartolome in his Aramaic name, was executed in what we would call Armenia in about 100 AD. His relics were taken back to Rome, so that will come important a little bit later, in 983. But the thing is, he was flayed alive. For those who don't know, that means he was skinned alive until he died. The interesting thing is Christianity has a sense of humour because he is saint of leather makers. The way we get St. Bartholomew's, the churches and the hospitals, is from the feverish mind of a monk called Raher, who founded the two. He went on a pilgrimage to Rome.
And pause there, who was he, Raher?
Right, Raher was a monk. And the legend is that he was a jester, but that's not actually true. Yeah. He was on secondment from St. Paul's Cathedral, working for Henry I at his court. And the reason we have this idea of, oh, it's all about fun, is because he went to Rome on a pilgrimage in 1120 to try to lighten the mood at Henry I's court. Right. It was said that Henry I never smiled again because he lost his wife Matilda for illness and his eldest son William in the White Ship disaster of 1120. So he went to Rome in an attempt to get intercession to try to bring good fortune for Henry I. Anyway, he caught malaria, as you do in Rome, as it was built on a swamp. He was taken to St. Bartholomew's Basilica in Rome, which is still there today, where the relics are. And it was the St. Bartholomew's Basilica that was built on top of a Roman Asclepion, which is a health spa. And so he's associated with medicine. And it's not a great surprise that in his delirium he saw Bartholomew. And then, just like all medieval religion, it's transactional. So the prayer was basically, can I get better and go home? And Bartholomew's transaction was, well, as long as you build a church and a hospital at Smithfield. But that's how we get Bartholomew linked to West Smithfield.
And so he came back here.
Raher came back here. Henry I granted the charter to found the monastery, which also formed the hospital.
Right. So the hospital still exists today.
Yes, so they're both celebrating their 900th anniversaries, being on the same spot, the same footprint. So the church is the successor to the priory church. The hospital is a successor to the monastery church.
Thank you. And maybe there needs to be a separate podcast about the hospital, but we're going to focus on the churches, as given this is the City Churches podcast series. And we will also deal with the two churches of St. Bartholomew separately, because within the hospital grounds there is St. Bartholomew the Less.
That's right. So the parish of Great St. Bartholomew is now the two churches, St. Bartholomew the Great and St. Bartholomew the Less. Until 2015, they were separate parishes. In 2015, I don't know who, but somebody realised nobody actually lives in the hospital anymore, and so it became a chapel of ease joined to the parish of Bartholomew the Great.
And so we're going to focus now on St. Bartholomew the Great, and we are standing outside this timber-framed sort of gateway into what's left of the old church. And can you tell me what we can see?
So what we can see is a Victorian version of what a Tudor building looks like. The building was built in 1595. It was a house for Richard Rich, but the black and white is all Victorian. That's what Tudors are supposed to look like. It would have been whitewashed. In fact, nobody knew that was there until 1917, when a Zeppelin bomb exploded in Smithfield and the Georgian bricks fell off the front.
Yes.
However, I think personally what's more interesting is the arch underneath. So beneath the lions of Normandy, there's a badge there, two lions on a red background. with the crown, two crowns, I should say, the same badge that's on the gate as you go into the churchyard. There is a 12th century gate arch. That is the actual arch from the monastery. However, it's not the main way into the monastery. It is really only the door to the south aisle.
Yes.
Before the destruction.
So, as you said, it was built as a monastery dedicated to St. Bartholomew, and it went in the during the reign of Henry VIII when he dissolved all the monasteries, and it was given to Richard Rich, who was one of Henry VIII's friends, I suppose, and he sort of turned some of it into a house, but some of it was remaining. Can you tell me a bit about what happened with the old monastery and what's left?
So what happened is, there's really two dates. 1123, it was founded.
Yeah.
1539, the last prior, Prior Fuller, signed the building over to Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Prior Fuller was on the commission that was looking into the corruption of monasteries, so not a great surprise he was going to sign it over with no problems. What happened is that the grounds were sold to Richard Rich, the person who had, shall we say, perjured himself to get Sir Thomas More executed, so he was in Henry VIII's good books. Richard Rich then started to demolish the buildings because dissolution of the monasteries isn't really correct, it's more like wanton destruction, as we'll see as we walk in. So large chunks were destroyed, really out of sort of to show who's in charge. Other parts were sold.
Yeah.
Prior Fuller was given a pension for life and the prior's home, so he stayed there, but he only lived for about 6 months, so it went to Richard Rich anyway. And then Richard Rich began to sell it off to different landed gentry.
Well, shall we go through the archway and into the church, even though that bit of the church isn't there anymore? So we've now come in through the arch.
We're facing the entrance to the church, as you would go into it today. To the right is what's left of the cloisters of the monastery. Now, those cloisters that you see before you are about a third of the size they would have been, and it would have been a square because cloisters are square, so you've only got one side, the south side.
Yeah.
Those cloisters were sold immediately in the 1530s, 1540s.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, they were stables. They were a lace company. The church itself regained them, what you can see, by 1923.
Wow, that's a long time.
So behind the cloisters would have been the chapter house,
right,
where that big brick wall is of a modern building. But the door to the chapter house is still in there,
okay,
bizarrely.
Okay.
Then we come across and we get to the front porch again. The porch has a statue of Rahere on it holding his church.
Yeah.
That's Victorian. Anything with the flint and Portland stone is Victorian. Well, you say Victorian, 1880s, 1921, Ashton Webb put this together. The brick tower, the bell tower, is actually from 1628 and has pre-Reformation bells in it. Now, if you look at a porch and look to either side upwards, you can see what would have been, or what's left, are the transepts, the cross of the monastery. They're stunted, their walls have been sealed off by Ashton Webb. So there's a lot of Ashton Webb's restoration going on from 1886 through to 1921 here. Now to our left is a raised churchyard.
Yes.
So this would have been the nave. This is where ordinary people wandered in. The main work of the monastery would be behind that wall in the choir, which is now the modern church.
Okay.
Ordinary people like us, we wouldn't go there.
We wouldn't be in that area. But, but we can today.
We can.
So shall we go in?
Yeah.
Actually, some people may be familiar with it because it's used a lot for filming, and we were meant to meet last week but couldn't because there was filming going on. I don't know what it was, but do you know what films, if any, have been filmed here?
One of the ways they're gaining, this church gains income, is from films. So only a week ago I was asked about Four Weddings and a Funeral, because Hugh Grant is slapped by Duckface here and lies on the very distinctive 1900 tiling on the floor. You get a lot of period films, of course, so Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Shakespeare in Love, The Other Boleyn. But you don't always get period films in here. I mean, Thor the Dark World used it as Valhalla.
Oh, really?
So there's more films.
Oh,
and the Muppets, apparently,
have
used it.
Even better. What is nice before we go in is that we are actually going into one of the oldest churches in the city of London.
And we will be seeing a part of the church that is 900 years old.
Yeah.
You do have to pick out other sections, but yeah. It's Norman. It will look Norman.
Yeah.
So we've just entered the door to the modern church. Behind us is a 40-metre corridor, which is now open air, and ahead of us is the same corridor, or aisle, to give it its proper name, mm-hmm. which is a little bit longer. And then it's going to turn into a semicircle, and that's called an ambulatory. So the aisle leads to the ambulatory. And this is where ordinary people like me and you can go. The door to the right for the cloisters is original from 1400.
We've walked a few steps forward into one of the transepts, the south transept.
That's correct, yeah, it's the south transept.
And is there anything of interest that we can see here? I mean, I'm noticing the rounded arches.
If you look from west to east, you can see 12th century Norman arches.
Yeah.
Okay, the round arches, Romanesque they would be called. But if you look the other way, south to north, you see early Gothic.
Pointed.
The pointed ones from 1400s. There's a lot of restoration here in the 1400s. Where the choir is Romanesque or Norman.
Rounded up.
So it's about 1100s.
And that kind of shows us how old it is.
Mm-hmm. So if we take, say, one more step forward.
Yes.
So immediately to our right, we can see a font. It is where William Hogarth was baptised. It's a pre-Reformation font. So he was baptised there in 1697.
Good.
Opposite is the north transept,
yeah.
which used to be the parish church when it was a monastery.
Okay.
Well, it's a lot smaller than it used to be, but it is that used to be the parish church.
The transept went further, didn't
it? It was sold and it became a blacksmith's, which is why the stone on that side, when you see it, is actually pitch black.
Yes, it's sooty, isn't it? So just to backtrack, in the north transept, so that was where Joe Bloggs the public could go and worship.
The choir, which you can now see the ambulatory, goes all the way around. So it's like a oblong with a circuit around it.
Yeah.
Ordinary people could walk around that and see literally the masses. They could see the Opus Dei. They could see the seven if they came in at midnight. But they could see the monks doing their work.
Right.
But the other chapel they could go was the Lady Chapel at the far end behind the high altar.
The holy bit.
Yes, that's for the ordinary people as well. So you sort of orbit the choir, but you can go into the Lady Chapel.
So essentially, Joe Bloggs the public would walk around and view whatever was going on in the central choir area.
That's right.
Q-U-I-R-E.
That's it, yes. Yeah.
And the monks, tell me about them. Who were they? Because you said you liked them.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Yes. So the monks here are Augustinians, as opposed to, say, Carthusians up at Charterhouse just down the road.
Yeah.
Now, there is a difference. In the sense that Carthusians lock themselves away in a cell and never come out.
Yes.
Whereas Augustinians do the same, what's called Opus Dei, God's work. So everything stops eight times a day or seven times a day, depending on how you want to count this.
Yeah.
And they will come in here and they chant and they say their works and psalms.
So there'd have been a lot of music in here and singing.
A lot of chanting. Augustinians are not a silent order. And then they all go off and do their stuff again, which in this case is run a hospital as well.
Okay.
So they live here, the refectory just over to the other side of the cloisters, chapter house where they all met every morning and read a chapter. That's the first thing they did. Whoever was appointed would read a chapter from Benedict's Rules, which is 37 of those, which is why it's called chapter house, because you read a chapter. Then the prior...
Benedict or Augustine?
It's actually Benedict. Okay. The Rules of a Monastery of Benedict. They're adaptions of Benedict.
Really?
Benedict of Nursia from Monte Cassino in Italy.
Yeah.
He is the first westernised 37 rules of how to run a monastery. And then different types of monks will slightly adapt them. So, yeah, so they would read a chapter, and that's when they sorted out the day's business. Who's going to do what? Who's going to get punished? All that sort of thing. They have the three promises: poverty, chastity, obedience.
So we're now going into this ambulatory walkway around the choir.
So we're still on the south aisle. We're about halfway up it, if you count the outside.
Yeah.
Or two-thirds way up it. And there's a pillar.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is that if you look carefully with a torch, you'll find medieval graffiti. Medieval graffiti is engraved. It's not someone with a Sharpie or a spray paint. And it would show up more because these places were painted. and plastered. Yes. So when you engrave something into it, it really does show. And that was expected, particularly in the nave, but here as well. Mm. Clusters over by the parish church, clusters of crosses.
Yeah.
They tend to
They're
be for...
Everywhere.
We have got some interesting ones over here. The daisy cell. So that type of design, which is made by a compass, is designed to keep evil out.
It's a six. It's the creation symbol as well. There's a cross.
Crosses are everywhere. Yep. But what's really interesting is this church is home to the Worshipful Company of Butchers.
Yeah, who are next door.
And next door. And if you look very carefully, you can see a pig. So somebody has scraped
a
pig.
I wouldn't have seen that unless you'd have moved your
I've got to say, it was pointed out to me as well, but it's a pig's head, a very rough pig's head. We're now turning into the ambulatory, where it's the semicircle.
Yeah.
To our right is the original door to the prior's home. Now, of course, the prior's home isn't in behind there anymore, it's a vestry, but that's where the prior would come in. Now, here is another place at the top, at the apex of the semicircle, top of the semicircle. We have, but on our right, the Lady Chapel. This is the third one. This is a Victorian restoration. The church got this back in 1891.
Okay.
So this was cut off. Very famously, this is where Benjamin Franklin worked as a printer in the 1720s because this was a publishing printing house.
So we're looking at a Victorian addition to the church, but there would
was.
Originally have been a lady chapel here.
It was a lot smaller, but it was.
And it was smaller, okay.
A lot
thanks.
Smaller it was.
So just to describe it, it's very grey space because it's just stone, but at the far end is a big painting, a very, very colourful painting.
Looks
Do we
like
know
a
anything
Matisse.
About
looks
it?
Looks like a Matisse.
Yeah.
It isn't, but it looks like a Matisse, and it's only from 1998. Okay. So we've come round the ambulatory, and we can see a banner to the Worshipful Company of Butchers, the livery company.
Yes, this is the church they support, I suppose.
That's right.
Or that the church supports them. We've come into the choir area, and... You just look up and around, and there's a lot to see here, but tell me what we should look at first.
I think what catches everybody's eye, first of all, is Prior Rahere's tomb. So he died in 1143, but actually that's a 1405 tomb.
Yeah.
So he was buried here, but this is an upgrade tomb, if you like.
Yeah. And then...
Yes, so what we have here is Prior Bolton's... Oriel window, we always say, don't we?
So this is facing the tomb of Rahere.
So we're above the arches, we're above an arch, and we're in what's called the triforium. That level is called a triforium.
Yeah.
The Oriel window is actually very clever because Prior Bolton, who is the prior before the last one,
prior to the prior,
he had that window built, and I'll say why in a minute, but his name is on the front. So just beneath the glass windows, you see what's called a rebus, which is a pun on your name in heraldry. So he was Bolton, and what you can see is what looks like a beer barrel, which is called a tun, and going through it is a crossbow bolt. So that's a bolt-on.
That indicates that it's his window.
It's his window. But actually, what it really is, it's an upgraded fancy watcher's chamber. Watcher chambers... is to make sure they're doing it properly.
Okay.
So that's really what it is.
Checking up
you guys are actually doing what you're supposed to be. Or there's nobody who shouldn't be in here.
It's very grey, but it would have been highly decorated.
Yeah, it would have been very painted. By the organ, you can see the paintings, the story of St. Bartholomew and Rahere. But they're from the 1930s.
Yes.
The organ isn't actually from here either. That came from St. Stephen Walbrook in 1886.
Did it?
So this wouldn't have had pews either when the monks were here. They'd have been standing in lines.
So we're going to resume walking around.
So we're in the north aisle.
That's right.
And we're heading towards the parish church.
So this is my favourite memorial in all of London. Well, one of them. And it says, there's just a plaque by the window. She first deceased, he for a little, tried to live without her, liked it not,
and died.
I think that's rather nice. Yeah. Essentially, he didn't live for much longer after she did. And it is to Whitings, yes, whoever they were. So we are back sort of where we started when we came in. And we can see down one of the cloisters. And we can just see a golden statue in there. And that, I remember it being in the south transept, but it's obviously been moved to this point. Can you tell me about it?
So the golden statue is by Damien Hirst, and it's St. Bartholomew. Yeah. You can kind of tell because he stood there with his skin over his outstretched arm.
Yes.
But the clever thing about it really is that he has a pair of shears in his left hand.
To show his martyrdom.
To show his martyrdom, that's right. But what's really clever is, of course, this was a monastery and a hospital. And so what is happening here, St. Bartholomew represents a monastery, but the statue also represents the hospital, because the actual figure is like a teaching figure you would see in a diagram for
anatomy
with all its veins and its sinews and muscles.
Yes.
And in the right hand, he's holding up, although it does look like he's calling a taxi, is a scalpel rather
right.
than a knife. It's actually a scalpel if you get close enough. And you can't see it from here because of the piano. But by his feet, when it's outside, you can see it,
yeah.
are other surgical modern surgical instruments.
That's interesting. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I want to ask you, actually, which is, can you tell me if there are any unusual ceremonies that take place here? In particular, I'm thinking of any around Easter time, Good Friday.
Yeah. So out in the churchyard is the annual Butterworth ceremony. And it was set up by Joshua Butterworth.
Yeah.
And people think it's an ancient ceremony, but it only comes from 1887, which is still pretty old, and in a few hundred years will be.
Yeah.
So 1887. Today it's about handing out money and giving out hot cross buns to the people in the who are watching it.
Yeah.
And originally, though, what would happen is that they'd put the sixpences, it would have been, on the major tomb nearest the church. There's a grave, not a tomb.
Yeah.
And the 21 widows, and I don't know why it's 21 widows, would have to crawl onto the grave to pick up their sixpence and get a bun.
Okay.
These days it's not quite the same. Hot cross buns, on the other hand.
That's appealing.
That's interesting. I quite like it, especially hot with melted butter.
I love a hot cross bun.
As Kevin mentioned, 2023 marks the 900th anniversary of St. Bartholomew, the church and the hospital. So if you're listening this year, it's worth looking at their website to see what events are taking place. There's music, tea tasting, garden parties, exhibitions, to name a few. And if you can't make any of those events, then I hope this podcast has at least given you all an audible insight into this very old place, right in the heart of our city.